Hi guys, in this show we're looking at Sutherland, Def, Streatham, Green, Naughton, Theron and Wildberg. We're looking at 2003's The Italian Job.
John, I told you, you were only supposed to get the bloody film right.
Well, in that case, we're looking at Kane, Clive, Bly, Beckley, Vallone, Hill, Coward and Kane. We're looking at 1969's The Italian Job.
That was fucking shit.
Yeah, that.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of 100 Things We Learned From Film. Your boys are back. My name's Plant Ian. Hold on, lads. I've got a podcast idea.
And I'm the other guy, and I'm just newly married.
He likes them big. And I'm going to say that because Kirsten doesn't listen. John, congratulations to you and Kirsty on ruining your lives.
Well, we're ruining it together, so that's all good.
Yeah, listeners, if you don't follow us on socials and wonder where the fuck we've been for the past few weeks, John's been getting married. Not for the few weeks. He's also been getting over the hangover of the
stag do, which yeah. I don't think I've still fully gotten over, to be
honest. Which is brutal. John is still hungover, and I still have food poisoning.
Oh, Jesus.
That was so unwell.
Oh, sorry, mate, but it was a good laugh, though.
The only man to ever go to Benidorm and lose weight. How it works. But, of course, this is the podcast that tries to learn 100 things from every film we are talking about. We're still sticking with our brothers and sisters in America that are on the picket lines by only covering films that are nothing to do with the big studios. So this week, John, we are talking about Wet.
The proper Italian Job from 1969 with Michael Caine.
Nice.
Michael Caine.
Yeah. Did you enjoy this watching this one again, John?
I did actually. I don't know why, but it seems just a lot shorter. A lot shorter. I remember it being a lot longer, but yeah, it was tiny wee.
Succinct, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you said nothing happens, but nothing happens until like the last 20 minutes.
Yes,
and then it all happens.
All good.
Then spends the last half an hour telling lads to get a move on.
While not driving, because you can't drive, first fact.
All right, very good, fantastic. And I've actually just realised I haven't got a pen. So this is a good fucking start, isn't it?
Mark out, big man, mark out. But 1969 was a bit sparse of films, but there was a lot of good ones.
It was the year that they invented the fucking soixante neuf, though, wasn't it? So, yeah, congratulations.
That'll do it. So what we had, what you could have won is Kez.
Oh, fucking hell. A little bit less cheery than this one.
Or Midnight Cowboy, you make it even better.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. Hey, I'm dying of gonorrhea here. Whatever happens in that film.
The Wild Bunch.
Oh, that's good. One dies in that as well, yeah.
Carry On Camping.
Nobody dies in that.
A lot of careers died. paint Your Wagon.
paint it with an oil-based paint.
And last but not least, On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
One of the better Bond themes.
The Lazenbys.
More on Bond themes coming up, by the way. Anyway. Right, we're going to get into it. We're going to try and learn 100 things from this. If you like what we do, follow us on the socials, Linktree. Just Google Linktree. Sorry, no, you don't have to do that anymore, do you? 100 things we learned from film.co.uk, and everything is now on there. If you like what we do and want to give us a quid a month, we will shout you out every episode, as well as give you lots of bonus stuff, which you probably heard one of our bonus episodes thrown into the main feed a couple of weeks ago, where I was talking with Punk about how Captain Planet saved Ireland and Belfast and the Troubles, because he did, and there's never been a problem since. Thanks, yep. Captain Planet, you fucking dick. But yeah, we will give you loads of different bits and pieces, outtakes and all sorts of stuff. Stuff that we would never say unless you paid us money.
True that.
And at the end of the episode, we'll give you a shout out. So that is patreon.com/100things. 100 things.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so we start out, we open on this, the scenic Alps, John.
So beautiful. St. Bernard's Pass.
Ah, St. Bernard's Pass.
Yeah, and high up there.
The dogs live.
Exactly, aye. And I'm loving this car, by the way. I thought it was fake.
Right.
Turns out it's no. It's a Lamborghini Miura P400.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay.
Cost $1 million if you were to try and buy one today.
All right, okay, fair enough. Because the mafia smashed them all up in the fucking Alps, I assume.
Well, the one I seen that Lamborghini when it got pushed off the edge just looked like cardboard, apart from one working wheel that just bounced in the hill.
It looked like a Sinclair C4 or something, didn't it? Yeah,
yeah. Well, devil.
The song playing here is "Days Like These" by Matt Monro. One of my favorite. I love this song, by the way. I listen to this song monthly. Written for the film by Quincy Jones and Don Black. Black is dead interesting, by the way, because he wrote the lyrics for Thunderball, Diamonds Are Forever, and The Man with the Golden Gun.
Wow.
Arguably, there's one good Bond theme out of those three. Tom Jones, darling, he hasn't got the range. He's an Oscar winner for writing the theme to Born Free.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. No chart details for this song, but it did sell 200,000 copies, making it silver in the UK.
Nice. So,
bit of credit where it's due.
Exactly.
It's an Oakhurst. Oh, Quincy Jones, by the way, we talked about him on the Austin Powers episode, but I don't think we talked about Gilbert Gottfried, RIP, by the way, and his obsession with Quincy Jones telling people he categorically knows that Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor had sex with one another.
What?
Yeah, I don't know either. It's a cracking headline.
I hope we used that butter for you last time going past.
Good. It's better than what I wrote, which was "See no evil, bum no evil."
Oh, that's rubbish.
I don't know. Oh, look, all power to the boys if they did.
Although I read somewhere that one of his co-writers helped him write songs was Michael Jackson.
All right, okay.
Yeah, he's one of somebody's penned some of his songs.
Oh, maybe that's where he wrote the song about that rat. Yeah.
In the kitchen with that mug on it. Oakhurst, you were talking about productions. I'd never heard them before. No film I've seen from was someone called Robbery from 1967 with Stanley Baker. And I'm like, hang on. And then it was like, oh, no, I'm thinking about Ryan Stanley.
Stanley Baker was the guy that set it all up. They only ever made 6 films. Robbery was the first one. And I've written here, John, Stanley Baker, not to be confused with Stanley Baxter. So I'm glad even after this amount of time off that we're all still on the
we're on the same page.
Absolutely. The film, of course, made in 1969. First Concorde test flight was on March the 2nd. Mm-hmm. The British Army arrived in Belfast on April the 20th, and it still took 20 years for Captain Planet to turn up after that.
Took his time.
Births, pervert Vern Troyer and pervert Marilyn Manson. National Treasure, and I don't think pervert, Steve McQueen. No, not that one, the director. And Gerard's Don't Call Me Jerry Butler.
All right, Big Jerry.
Yeah, deaths, Boris Karloff, Sharon Tate, Ho Chi Minh, and Judy Garland. Oh. Imagine that for a dinner party lineup, though.
I know, huh?
I mean, what would you serve at that?
I don't know. There's no place like prawns.
there's no place like Ho Chi Minh. anyway. Back to the film. Because it's set in 1969, and it's about the England football team in 1969, which, of course, you hated. They were champions in 1966, but we don't like to bang on about it. Something about the last time we had a team.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've just beat Scotland 3-1, so who fucking cares? England played no qualifying games for Mexico in 1970 because, of course, they'd won in 1966. Here are the friendlies that they played that year. Romania, France, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, where they won 4-1, up ye, Mexico, you are gay, Brazil. And where else, John?
Italy.
No. God, we've only been off for 4 weeks.
The Netherlands.
There you go, absolutely. He's all right, listeners, he's getting back into it.
I'm not into football, but I think, let's see, the Football Association Committee accepted an invitation for England to play a friendly match to be played. Oh no, that's the wrong one.
I'll cut that, shall I?
I just cut that one.
I
thought England played Italy in 1969.
Apparently not.
Well.
In this film, they did. If you think films are real, John, then there's you obviously also think fart guns are real.
Fart guns are real.
The car speeds into a tunnel and is exploded by the mafioso.
Oh, you forgot to talk about the director, Peter Collinson.
Oh, well, I've got some on him later on. Go for it.
Well, his next film was a film called You Can't Hardly Wait with Chuck.
Really?
I
can't hardly wait. I can hardly wait to be the next film after this. I hope to meet the mafia and explode them. I can't hardly wait for a red light. Peter Collinson from Cleethorpes. The best thing to come out of Cleethorpes since the A46. That's it, lads. We've been away for 3 weeks, and all I've done is write local road puns.
Of course. Expect nothing less.
He was raised by his grandparents and attended the Actors' Orphanage in Chertsey, where Noel Coward was the president and first discovered him and apparently helped him get jobs in the film industry because he's a fucking Nepo orphan, man.
Oh, poor orphans.
He's best known for this film. And Then There Were None, the version with Dickie and Ollie Reed in.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah. He sold me gay fucking giraffes. It's the one thing I always think about that when I think of Oliver Reed. Gay fucking giraffes. And he died at the age of 44 in 1980, which is grim. Not entirely sure if he ever owned homosexual giraffes, but there you go. Car speeds into a tunnel and it's exploded by these mafioso. Now, I got this feeling that they were all dressed like the old guy out of Poltergeist 2.
Oh, God, aye.
Yeah. What were they wearing? And then they throw it off the cliff, and as you say, it looked like it was made of cardboard.
I really did, apart from that one tile that just bounced from miles.
Yeah. Charlie Croker's leaving prison. Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Michael Caine.
Well, what did he do, though? Because that's confusing. Didn't he actually mention how long he was in there for?
He's just a bad one, isn't he? He's always on the rob, because they're on about, what's your next job, Charlie? I hear you're going to do an Italian job. Wah, wah, wah.
But 2 years he'd done in prison.
Oh, see. 2 years?
2 years. But does he tell you what for?
Okay. He says goodbye to Mr. Bridger, Noel Coward. More on him later on. And he's picked up by Lorna in this car. And he's going through all the stuff. And he has this Pakistani flag for the front. And that hat that Pakistani seniors wear. And it's like, you nicked this off the Pakistani ambassador. Yeah, I've been out of jail 2 minutes and I'm in a hot car. Which I thought was really, really good.
That was good.
The current Pakistani ambassador, John, the High Commissioner of Pakistan to the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Dr. Mohammed Faisal.
Cool.
Congratulations, Dr. Mohammed Faisal. He goes into this tailor's, and the tailor's going, he says, when I went in, this was all the fashion. The tailor goes, how long have you been in, Ducky? Life.
did you not see who the first tailor was?
No, I didn't spot that.
No way. It's Humphrey Benny Hill, a guy called Henry McGee.
Right.
It was only a 10-second cameo, but he was...
Oh, right. Good spot.
I didn't know his face, but it turns out it's him.
Good spot. There's another face I recognised, Rachel recognised coming up, and it threw me.
Hello, hello.
Maybe, I don't know. He turns to you, do me a favour, Adrian. Shorten the sleeves, lav. I'm not a gorilla.
You're not a gorilla. That was funny.
I welcome the return of men calling men love, by the way. I think that's super. I really do think that's the business, as far as I'm concerned. He heads to collect his car from this posh car park. And he's Captain Croker. This comes up a few times. He's got this plummy accent. I say. He gets in the bonnet and takes this wadge of notes out. And he says, you've been away for a long time, Captain Croker. Yeah, I've been in India. So you'll think daggers. He pays the bill. He said, these are £200 bundles. I said, you must have shot an awful number of tigers. Yes, I used a machine gun.
And in 1971, by the way.
I think about that all the time. Sorry?
Shooting tigers were banned in 1971.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I've got some tiger shit here somewhere.
Did you notice the car?
Yes, I did. Somewhere. Aston Martin DB4?
Yep, 1961. What a...
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, it's a sexy... Yeah. It's a sexy wee tiger, isn't it?
It really is.
In 10 days, in 1911, the Queen's dad, King George, killed 39 tigers because he's a fucking prick. As of 2022, India contains 75% of the global tiger population.
Facts. Facts, darling.
Charlie heads to this hotel and he's Lord Croker now. I love all these changes. The Royal Lancaster Hotel, which is in Bayswater in London.
And get your room for $313, big man.
Oh, good work. Fantastic. It's certainly cheaper than a room in that place that we went for your wedding. It's not. It's considerably more. But then if you will get married in a Motel 6. Oh, is there one for the Americans, that. One for the Americans. He goes upstairs and Lorna's got him this bevy of international dames, hasn't he? Hola, Charlie. Como estad, Charlie?
I love you, Charlie. Long time.
Oh, show us your dick, Charlie. And he leaves a bit bow-legged, which I thought was really cute by today's standards, but might have been like the height of kind of dirtiness at the time.
Aye. Busy shaggers.
He heads to another room following instructions on this telegram that he's got, and he's confronted by the wife of the guy who died at the start, Mrs. Beckerman. Mm-hmm. She explains his fate and gives Charlie the plans, and they get it on. And he's like, and you, still in your widow's weeds. What the fuck does that mean? Widow's weeds are black clothes worn by a widow in mourning.
There you go.
Afternoon and evening.
Yeah, I was going.
Watching the video, I love how Charlie's talking to Roger as he highlights it. He's going, Charlie, if you are watching this, I am dead. He's like, oh, hello, Roger. Okay, Roger, all the way through. It's brilliant.
That's very good.
He highlights the plan of getting $4 million in Turin through a traffic jam. The Fiat armored convoy leaves Turin Airport every week and carries no less than $4 million US dollars. The computer in the traffic control center can be fiddled with to cause a huge jam. They then rob the convoy and escape in one singular route that's still free. When is she showing? He's showing this building. It looks like Carlisle Civic Center.
it's 60s
monstrosity. You
know, ugly is horrendous, isn't it?
$4 million today, $33.4 million dues.
Inflation in it?
That is exactly the word I used to find the answer to that, John. Charlie calls Bridges' right-hand man Camp Freddy.
He's a lot of stuff, him, I reckon.
Camp Freddy's a jobbing actor, if ever there was one.
I know.
He wants Bridger to support him. It's a foreign job, which will help balance the British economy. And I'm kind of like, is this what arseholes thought Brexit was? Did they think when they were taking their pens in, because they wouldn't have a pencil, taking their pens in and crossing, get out of... Did they think, were they all going, where's the self-preservation society? Rule Britannia.
Must have done. Yeah. Still fucking kidding themselves on it, the mess isn't caused by Brexit, but here.
Yeah, we'll be back in 10 years, mate. Fingers crossed. If I have anything to do with it. I don't know, I'll just blow the country up. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? There you are. We've got it down on the podcast now. Yeah. Terror suspect Mark Plant. Oh shit, I'm just giving a full name away for the first time in about 2 years. Alex, right. Yeah, it is what it is.
Cut.
No. I might. I love how after he puts the phone down in this meeting. Camp Freddy then goes through all the other people in the meeting and he says, Butch Harry, tell us about Fulham. And he goes, well now, Fulham, a bit dodgy at the moment.
I know.
It's like, I want to see the rest of this meeting.
I know. It's like the bloody hang me, Austin Powers in it. We're sitting around the tables like that, right?
Very much so. Mr. Bridges taking his nightly shite in the prison and he gets escorted in by the guards.
Yep. With two papers in the top row.
Yeah.
Three papers.
in a way. In the toilet, Charlie's waiting for him. He explains the job and Bridger leaves. He goes to talk to the governor. Who was this?
It was John
Le Mesurier.
Yeah.
Always brilliant. And always, once again, no fucking idea what's going on, has he?
No. He's no he always looks as if he's confused. He's, and he's
completely
good at it.
He's a man out of his element in everything he's in. Yeah. He explains, my toilet was broken into. Do you know who it was? I haven't the slightest clue. he asks Keats, his support guy, Keats, to give Charlie a going over. Yeah. In his cell, he's got these millions of pictures of the Queen, and he reads a news story about a 140 million trade deal between Italy and China. All of a sudden, we think he might be interested. At Charlie's pad, Lorna arrives, kicks out these three women Charlie's at it with. they argue. Camp Freddy shows up with this pair of hired goons. Hired goons? And they give him a bit of a going over off screen, which is quite good. Camp Freddy arrives at Bridges' dentist.
How is he? Yeah.
And he's playing cards with the dentist and enjoying a brandy. I like that.
I love that. Oh, obviously, Harley Street. It's a London street, and the surrounding area is globally famous for its private healthcare.
It's
something else.
Yeah, it's where you used to get your teeth done before you went to Turkey, innit? He explains he's seen the deal between China and Italy, and he wants in on the job. They've now got to go back and see Charlie. And said. He says, get the top scientist in the country, Professor Peach. Camp Freddy, what if he's not bent? Camp Freddy, everyone in the world is bent.
I love
that. It's so good. Such a good line.
I had to explain it, and I'm be honest with you, because I had to explain it saying bent as in...
On the take. It's such an old-fashioned one.
If you were back then, it probably would have just meant bent.
Yeah, on the take. Yeah, that's what exactly what it meant.
But I had to explain it to me. I was like, I didn't need to know that.
Noel Coward, famous playwright, wrote over 65 plays. This was his last acting role, and he died in 1973.
There was a lot of pain doing this. Apparently, some of the stuff had to be shot in sections because he couldn't really walk far.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, Getting on. Freddie and Charlie head over to see Peach's sister. Right. Now, did you recognise her?
Because
Rachel did. And the old dame out of Metal Mickey.
No.
I didn't, mate. I'm glad she spotted it because I didn't. You two are considerably older than me, so that's how you got it. They put Peach in at home because he keeps touching up the maid, Annette. And Annette comes in and she looks like Benny Hill. The joke is she's a big lassie and she's plain, right? Mm. And to be honest, this is the only bit that's not aged particularly well for me. Is him?
Yes.
Or he likes him big, and he agrees to go along as long as he gets his hands on a big Italian woman. It's of its time and it's shit.
Well, to be honest, right, as much as we think that Benny Hill should have been new trade, right? Looking back, so I was looking him up. Apparently, he was quite a recluse. He was looking after his family. He died, and he left inheritance and 10 million, but had nobody directly to get to, so his grandchildren got it. But he was even Michael Caine says when they were making this, he never associated with them. He would just go to his room, and they would all go out partying.
Oh, right, okay.
So quiet.
Jesus, you jump at the chance to go out for a drink with 1960s Michael Caine.
I know. He was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang the year before, so he was in a bit of a role.
Oh, yeah, of course he was. He's the king, isn't he?
I don't know, the clockmaker or something like that?
Yeah, it's the same thing, I think, is it? I don't know. Shit, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Don't half go on.
It's
about 5 hours long, I think.
It really is.
At the meeting, we meet all of the main people. We meet Bill Bailey. No, not that one. He's the number two. Chris, Tony, and Dominic are the mini drivers. And at one point, someone calls them chinless wonders, which I absolutely love. They're going to transfer to a coach driven by Big William. You understand why he's called that, because he's this massive Caribbean bloke.
He's massive, isn't he?
The professor will... Go on.
He's always laughing, isn't he?
He's always laughing. Not fucking laughing at the end, is he?
I know, shit.
The professor will fix the computers. Arthur, Frank, Rosa, Coco, Yella, Roger, Dave, and Lorna finish up the team. Camp Freddy, you all know. I don't know why I like that. I've always liked that. We have to work together as a team, and that means you do everything I say.
That's simple as.
It's great fun. And I've written here, is Camp Freddy camp because he's got a pink tie?
I know there's something about, and at one point he was wearing a pink suit. So I don't know.
That pink suit was lush, by the way.
Right, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd love to get away with one of them.
Camp Freddy because he just dresses flamboyantly.
Flamboyantly, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean he's gay, does it?
Yeah.
In the next scene, they're setting up the cars and the bus. There's a chat about differentials and the like, but I just could not be arsed looking at them. If we end up with like 96 facts, I'll take the only bit
I picked up on that, it was the minis. They weren't offered to them. It was Fiat that offered them the Fiat 500. So all the Fiats you see were given to them by them, whereas when they approached Mini, they say they weren't any interested. So
they had to buy them?
Had to buy them, aye.
Oh, right, okay. Can you imagine it without the Minis? It just wouldn't be the same.
Well, that's what the director says, that Fiat approached him and says, look, we can give you the Fiat 500, which is a smaller car, but I just need something that's English. So he just stuck to his guns and done the Minis, which I think was a better idea.
I don't think
it was iconic if it wasn't for those Minis. Yeah. With many headlamps.
Yeah, yeah, all the headlamps in the world. These Minis, by the way, 1969 Minis.
1969. Right. New ones.
Yeah. It's a great advert, isn't it? It's a fantastic advert.
Oh, God,
Bridger hears from Camp Freddy that they need money for more equipment, and he's not particularly happy. They write off a couple of the Minis trying to go up this ramp. And we now get the classic scene of the van being exploded. Say the line, John.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
There you go.
Which some people think have said at the end. I don't understand why people think that line was said at the end. Like, see, when you say it to people, go like, oh, when you said it at the end, I'm like, no, said it right at the beginning.
All right, okay.
Maybe a misconception. That's it. I felt physically ill when I watched those Minis getting crashed. I was like, man, I love the Mini. I think
yeah, so do I. I would, I could definitely fit about 12 on my drive.
Test that out.
There was a PS1 game, by the way. I know I've banged on about this on an episode before, released in 2001, because I had the demo. Which was like the first level, I think. Metacritic score of 73. There's a full playthrough on YouTube, and I've watched about 20 minutes of it the other night. And the Croker Kane impression is like Stella Street. And I even cleaned your ass that time you shat yourself. Punch two. Bridger's watching a video from Turin. This chap's telling us that the job's hard but not impossible. Meanwhile, we see the plan as told by Charlie. So it's actually a good kind of, for the time, it's a good kind of job-on-job kind of, you know, stop. He says it's a tough job. They need to beat the police to the escape. While Bridger's watching the report, he sees the mafioso-type guy from the start of the film watching at the end of the update. He walks literally right up to the camera and he's staring at him. You're kind of like, mate, subtle as fuck. But I guess you're the mafia. You know who you're scared of.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids, I think we need to arrange a funeral. Oh, the van, by the way, you're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off van, was a Morris Commercial LC5. I knew I had that written somewhere.
See?
Yeah, Morris.
I've only got the sexy.
You only got the decent motors. Yeah, exactly. In this foggy cemetery, Bridget tells Charlie they've overlooked the mafia. He explains if you go through with it, you better win. If not, don't think of coming back here except in your coffin. But Bridger speaks to the whole gang. We're here to remember Aunt Nellie. She was a bugger or something. I can't remember.
Exactly. I know. He's like, could you say a few words?
He says, I want you to remember, if you don't come back with the goods, or Aunt Nellie will turn in her grave. She'll then likely jump out of her grave and kick your teeth in. That was great. They set sail on the Free Enterprise One.
I've seen it.
Rule Britannia.
I've checked this boat out.
Yeah? What did you get?
Ferry Free Enterprise One was sold to Greece in 1980.
Yeah.
And then sold for scrap in 2013.
Mm-hmm. It was a cross-channel ferry Dover to Calais from 1968 to 1980. So it would have been a cracking advert for it because it was new the year before, you know.
And it had Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah. Enterprise rent-a-boat. The Jeep, the bus, and the Minis are heading into Turin, but they're heading in different routes.
Yep.
I love these sporty numbers, by the way, that they're in.
But
the Jaguars.
Oh, God, nice.
Yeah.
Those cars
were beautiful. They were absolutely beautiful. Really good. The Mafia are waiting for them. The Mafia boss explains what Beckerman's fate was. And this caterpillar shows them how, tipping Charlie's car over the edge. He says something like, "Hey, you've lost him in his insurance bonus."
That's right. Good.
He says, and this line, this was the only bit I found truly grim. This line, "You'll be making a grave error if you kill us. There are 250,000 Italians in Britain and they'll be made to suffer. Every restaurant, ice cream parlour and gambling den will be smashed and Mr. Bridger will drive them into the sea."
Yeah, I
was like, fucking hell, mate. Oh, this took a turn.
I know. It's really bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Drive them into the sea. And I was like, what the f-?
So the Mafia guy's called Albertini and we see him that night meeting with an American ambassador and the guy's congratulating him for the way you dealt with the bloody English. And he's like, "The English are not as stupid as they look. See, John, I keep fucking telling you."
I know, but they look really stupid.
I know we do. I know. It's the big heavy craniums without any brains inside them.
Lugging that a bit all day.
We cut to Freddie and the boys outside the traffic centre. And above them, Charlie throws a bicycle at the substation, causing a power outage. I loved that technique, by the way. Just a little rickety old bike.
So apparently that control centre was Apex House.
Oh, right. Okay.
Middlesex.
Oh, was it? Oh, very good.
Double dies. And the traffic control that you see as soon as you go in is Baron von Smallhausen from Hello, Hello.
Oh, well done you.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, man, von Smallhausen.
Right, von Smallhausen. Love it.
Next morning, as the bullion arrives at the airport, the Securieza van picks it up.
Yep.
The Fiat, I couldn't tell you what that translates as.
I know.
As they're all Fiat vans, aren't they? It's a good advert for Fiat.
Oh, the Fiats, yeah.
Charlie sends Lorna home on the plane, and we see the bullion being loaded. Mm-hmm. And it's all being overseen by Albertini. Gold bullion, John. Each bar will weigh 400 troy ounces. I'm not sure how many arbed ounces that is, but it's £27.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck a troy ounce is. Fucking this shit. When it comes to money and stuff, like there's so much stuff that just poor people will never understand. Apparently. In their safe house, this old dilapidated house, Charlie tells them to burn anything that could track them with. One final thing. In this country, they drive on the wrong side of the road. It's kind of funny. Countries that drive on the left, 65 in total. I was shocked by that. Including us, Ireland, Bermuda, Bangladesh, and Cyprus.
Right.
My favourite fact was Nigeria drove on the left until 1972 when they changed to the right. Because all of their neighbours drive on the right, of course.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. On the tram in Turin, Peach approaches this big old Italian woman with a really creepy look in her eye after kind of helping her up by pushing a bum on the tram.
Whoa.
And the next thing, he's been arrested.
I know. That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And they speed that up as well, which I was kind of like, is that...
And that just done again.
Is that like Benny Hill stuff? Aye. What's going on there? Listen on the radio. We hear the gold's been loaded. By the way, did you see the guy that was listening on the radio? It looked like Fred. He was dressed like Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Ah, oh, sure, was I?
That white shirt on with that blue neckerchief.
Aye, neckerchief.
Jinkies, Scoop. Jinkies, Charlie. We've got to get the gold or something. It set off across the city, followed by a Mafia car. The lads head out in the Land Rover. And Charlie thanks the old cleaner by saying, "Malta bene, Dad." I'm also all for bringing back calling old lads Dad. Like, that's such an old-fashioned thing. And maybe a Cockney thing. I don't know. But definitely a kind of an old-fashioned thing that they did. This bloke they've got dressed in this fan outfit with the cigar. You know, this really kind of, hello, the bloody foreigners.
English rose, no, that's what I think.
Yeah. He asks for Corso Garibaldi, the street that he's looking for. This Italian boy tries telling him, he's like, "You bloody foreigners."
I know, which I thought was quite fucking funny and all.
Corso Giuseppe Garibaldi is the main street that goes past Juventus's football ground.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, the Old Lady of Turin is what they know Juventus Football Club as, and they're a bunch of cunts. Giuseppe Garibaldi, of course, unified what we now know as Italy in 1861 and fought the Italian Unification Wars, the Uruguayan Wars, and the Ragamuffin War. Which I assume he did that with General Apache Indian.
I thought you were going to go Clone War as well.
That's right, folks. I've had a month off and I've just come back with jokes for nobody.
Yeah, ragamuffin.
He drops these signal blocking things in the bins, which caused the cameras to go out and upset von Smallhausen.
Yes.
We see the traffic lights all go a bit mad, causing crashes and issues, and the mafia lose the convoy.
Yeah.
This Jeep, however, has a clear run through back streets and what looks like the scene of every Italian exploitation film from the 1970s. Bronx Warriors, I'm looking at you. The Land Rover finds itself behind the security van and the transporters block it off so Charlie can get the Land Rover and hook it up to tow the van. Yeah. There's this fracas and a water cannon. The one thing I will say is fascists are really good at knowing how to disperse a crowd of lefties, aren't they?
Aye, get the water out. We'll dissolve them.
I'm melting! What a traffic jam. The lads drag the van into the courtyard and shut the doors behind them before starting to load the minis with the bullion.
Yep. Oh, did you see that scene, there's a scene where somebody says it's basically look at all these traffic jams, like, well, isn't it? But apparently that was Michael Caine sitting in that car.
Was it sitting
with his driver, and I'm looking, going, that's Michael Caine. So I double checked it, and sure enough, Michael Caine was sitting in that car.
The Italian police try and batter down the door, but not before the minis get away. They are, of course, red, white, and blue. Why wouldn't it be? And the rest of the lads escape in this minibus dressed as football fans.
Well, it's because they're French drivers, by the way. Apparently, the actual real drivers were French, so it was for England and obviously for the French.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, very good.
So up there.
Zutter laws. The cars escape through the city down walkways and into the subway. One of the guys reaches out and grabs a chicken off of a thing.
Chicken.
He's starving. they head down this walkway and into a subway, and they even drive through the wedding party from The Godfather. Al Pacino to be there. If you didn't know better, you'd think the Mini was really, really versatile and not something that would conk out at the slightest incline.
Jason Bourne drove one as well.
That's good.
That's a Mini as well, man. A hostile Mini, so there must be something in that.
They head up this building that looks like the Sydney Opera House.
Yes, and then disappear.
Yeah, and then hide from this cop car. And when the cop car gets up to the top and he gets out and he's scratching his head, oh, where did those cars go? they come up. Like, he would have seen them.
I know.
But obviously, we couldn't see them. And then his car just conks out.
Yeah, in reverse. Isn't it weird?
Yeah. They escape and they park up at this Mini dealership to avoid the cops on their tail. I'm like, why is there a Mini dealership in Turin, the home of the Fiat 500?
Exactly.
Turin, John, is the fourth largest city in Italy after Rome, Milan, and Naples. And Torino in Italian means little bull. It was also made the first capital city of a unified Italy in 1861, thanks to our good friend Giuseppe Garibaldi.
Big Jep.
Mm-hmm. Fiat, or Fabbrica Italiana di Automobile Torino, which I think is what the Germans call it, launched in 1899. It's the largest car manufacturer in Italy. And in 2002, it built over 1 million vehicles in a calendar year.
God, that's a lot. Mm. No really Fiat fan, to be fair.
No, I quite like the, you know, the souped up little Fiat 500s.
Oh, the big Grandi thing.
I think those are smart as fuck, but I think they've got like a 2-litre engine in them. I don't know where the fuck that goes.
No half.
Those are a little bit sexy, but they're really fucking dear. Listeners, if you need to buy a car, if you're desperate for a car and you want one that's semi-reliable, there are a million Fiat 500s available, dirt cheap.
Yeah.
I think what happens is kids or hairdressers get them when they pass the driving test.
And then move on
to the next car, once they've ragged the arse out of it a year later.
Totally
but
agree.
You can get them for like 2 grand. When we were desperate looking for a car, I didn't, because how the fuck am I going to fit in one of them? Fat cunt like me. But, you know, anyway. But there was always lots of them when we were looking for a car. We see them jump over roofs in the Mini, and the police car can't.
Yeah, that's the Fiat building, by the way. See the strip, apparently.
With the big circle on the top.
Yeah, they built a full... Latin.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. It's a good use of space, that. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can keep your Fast and Furious films. This has got all the stunts.
All right. Yeah.
Including probably the most unbelievable stunt of all, John. We're driving a Mini over a fucking weir.
The stunt that never actually happened was in the sewers. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
The stunt, the coordinator wanted to do a loop in a Mini in front.
Upside down.
Couldn't do it, but apparently they'd done it in rehearsals, but the camera wasn't rolling.
Oh, no, that's
great. They managed to do it, but because of the algae when they were actually shooting, it kept slipping, so they couldn't do it.
Oh, mate.
Crushed 3 cars.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, thank you. Everyone knows, of course, that if you even drive a Mini through a puddle, you're going to flood the engine. Let alone a fucking weir. For those that don't know, a weir is a small dam built across a river to control the upstream water level. Just do not cross the upstreams.
Yeah, just makes it weir.
Good. The cops get washed away at this, in spite of the fact it's a much bigger car. I was like, I'm not buying that at all.
And there's a dummy as well.
Yeah.
You're rigid. Didn't they move?
You said the weir was shallow, kid. Shallow! The bit in the key is where we're introduced to the Self-Preservation Society song, which I was kind of like, this must have been a massive hit at the time. But the song's actually called Get a Bloomin' Move On.
Aye, and Mick McCain's singing it, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. It was never a single, but the Self-Preservation Society was episode 7 of the first series of The Boys. There you go.
There you go. Nice.
There you go, Mono. Shut up. They head down the storm drain, and as you said, this is the bit where they're kind of going back and forth in the thing. I assume they must have murdered at least 2 Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles in this bit.
At least. And maybe clip splinter. Definitely something going on.
Some lads drop the security gate at the end, and it causes the last cop car to smash through it and into the water.
Yeah.
They meet Big William in the bus, and heading up to the Alps, they start driving the Minis into the bus up these little ramps.
Yep.
And now, this driving up the little ramps gave me just the fear.
Aye, I was the same.
Because, I mean, I like to think I'm an all right driver, but fucking hell, how would you manage that?
Tight on a bus. Because they're driving to Switzerland, didn't they?
Yeah.
So from Turin to Switzerland, I've checked Google Maps, it's 4 hours and 57 minutes, and I'm sure they mentioned something about a 2-hour drive.
Right.
I'm like, is it though?
All the best.
Good luck with that.
They manage to get the Minis in, though, don't they?
Aye, they managed to get them in, but allegedly, and I need to check this out, because I want to make sure this is true, but allegedly some of the footage for this film was used in the TV series MacGyver, 1985.
Get out!
I'll check it, though, mate. I'll check it.
Right, okay, you do that. Bridger hears the good news, and all the inmates are cheering him on, and it's kind of like the cult of Bridger.
Aye, really? It's weird, isn't it?
What's he inside for? Like robbing a train or something?
No, that's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? He's treated like royalty, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you remember robbing trains? You don't do that anymore, do you?
Nah.
What would you get? Like an old sandwich and maybe a copy of the Metro?
Exactly. And fine for trying to tidy up.
For not having a ticket. For not having the right ticket. In the mountains, they push the Minis out. One by one, down the cliffs, and meet with the minibus of the other lads, and they get them on. They're hurtling round the hills, and you're right, William's laughing his tits off here and can't keep it straight, and ends up with the bus halfway hanging off the edge. Again, another thing that gave me the fucking stress, this. Mm-hmm. Charlie gets the lads to the safe end of the bus, but they can't get the gold without the bus tilting. Charlie crawls over at the bullion, but it starts to slide further at the back. And he uses what is now the iconic idea. Hold on, lads. I've got a great idea. We pan out to the bus hanging off the cliff.
Yeah.
And one final observation, right? I think William is the villain here. with his careless driving, by the way.
Ah, because that's
like, shit driving, man. What, you could have had anybody else driving.
No.
Fucking me.
Even I was like, where the hell is this guy on, man? Because it was just, nah.
The police would have caught me, though. I'd have only been doing 30 around these. Like, it was in Cyprus around the mountains. Fucking hell.
We're all going to die.
Yeah. And that is the film. I'm sure we've got tons of facts and things. This is probably like the shortest episode we've done since Airplane, I think.
Aye. Yeah. But as you say, it's all preparation. And then the end, it's just done. Bang, bang, bang.
That's right. What have you got, John?
Absolutely nothing. I used them all.
All right, okay. Costumes by Burmans. I noted this. Monty Burman, head of Burmans and laterally Burmans and Nathans, died 2022 at the age of 91 years old.
Go on, 2022.
Burmans was founded by his dad, Maurice Burman, in 1900. And what other films, I Hear You Cry, did he do costumes for? The James Bond films, The African Queen, Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago, Murder on the Orient Express, and the Star Wars trilogy, because there are only three Star Wars films. We've done Collinson. Wreaths. In ancient Greece and Rome, wreaths were used as an adornment that could represent a person's occupation, rank, or achievement and status. The word wreath comes from the Middle English wreath, or from the Old English, ritha, or band. The mafia can piss off is not a fact, but I have written it down for some reason. The prison, externally is Wormwood Scrubs, opened in 1875 and holds over 1,200 lags. During the war, all prisoners were evacuated and MI5 ran operations from here. Internally, it was Kilmainham Prison, Dublin. I'll have murdered that name, of course, which is now the Museum of Irish nationalism.
Right.
Croker's Car, we've had. Turin and Fiat. The Alps, John. 1,200 kilometres or roughly 750 miles long. The Alps cover Austria, Germany, France, Italy, Liechtenstein, Monaco, Slovenia, and Switzerland. Its highest point is Mont Blanc, which is 15,776 feet high. And pretty sure I'm there or thereabouts. What was the thing about Greenfly? Was somebody feeding plants?
The women, there's just the Metal Mickey women.
Yeah. Aphids are eaten by sparrows and other small birds in the UK, but they eat your plants. There's more than 500 species of greenfly or aphid in the UK. Piazza is a square in Italian, of course. In Persian culture, it is known as a maiden. In Indonesia, it is known as an alun-alun. It's so square, they named it twice.
Alan.
The Land Rover was a 109 Series 2. I don't know what I've written there about the 2003 Italian job. Something.
Why would you?
The world's most congested cities, John. Geez, I'm going on here. According to Bloomberg, the top five are London, Chicago, Paris, Boston, and Batoga. Everyone's talking about pop music. In the UK, the typical driver spent 80 hours in traffic in 2022 compared to 51 hours in the US because they're all gloating bastards.
Bastards. Bigger roads.
There was a line about the black hole of Calcutta. Now, I've always wondered what the black hole of Calcutta was. Right, I'm glad I looked it up. Yeah, it was a dungeon in Fort William, Calcutta, measuring 14 feet by 18 feet. And after the fall of Fort William, not that one, the surviving British soldiers, Indian civilians, and Indian sepoys were imprisoned overnight in conditions so cramped that many people died from suffocation and heat exhaustion. Of the 146 prisoners of war imprisoned, 123 of them died.
Fucking hell.
And that's what a weir is. There you go. Right. That's me all out of facts. So, John, did you find out if that thing was in MacGyver, by the way?
Yes, it was. I checked it and it was there. That's right. A big mark of junk here as a clip of MacGyver getting it somewhere.
Jesus I'm sure it was Mexico. Right, okay, fair enough. John, how do you think we're gone?
I'm going to say 69.
Oh, nice. Higher.
89.
Higher.
99.
Spot on.
Really?
What did I say? I should have looked up what a fucking displacement gauge or whatever was. Bollocks. Oh, bollocksy bollocks. Oh, well. It is what it is, mate. That's the podcast. So that's good, though. That's quite good. And one fact for every minute of the film. It's got a 99-minute runtime.
Nice.
There you go. So it's kind of got some. It's got something about it. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Look, again, if you like what we do, you must be fucking mental. But give us a quid every month and we will shout you out every episode. Patreon.com/100things. 100 things. Right. People that are paying us. Rob Jones, Dolphin Shagger, Sexy Pickup Truck Lover. He's doing loads of bits on Radio X at the moment. So it's a little radio station that's run by quite a few friends of ours.
Radio Twitter?
No, sorry. Not quite, no. Radio X, if you go on Mixcloud and look up Radio X, the letter X, you'll find that. Megan, Dale and Ali had an amazing MegaCon in Carlisle last month. And Dale works for Wilco's, so someone give that lovely bastard a job, please. Ian from Cult Connections and Bantha Liberation Front is back doing a shoker with Maria, who's also a patron. Much more gruesome than I've made that sound. Emily Vince, one of the ones that helps us get the hard to get films, and we adore her for it. Nigel Davis makes amazing merch for us and gifts for friends through the Wonder Emporium. Dan and Gavin, be there with Belson podcast. Rachel loves Gavin. I think I should watch that. I think there's something going on there. Joe from Hallmark of Greatness. I'm back on Hallmark of Greatness this week. We're doing a Robin Hood film this week.
What?
Not that one. But it's also not that one. And no, it's not even that one, sadly. Mono Rants at the Movies. We love Mono. He's kind and handsome and sadly Irish. Josh Wilson, super familiar with the Wilsons podcast and a million other podcasts. He needs to probably find some time to do something else. Trust me, Josh, it'll kill
your wife.
Yeah, spend some time with your wife. Gadget and Stig are on Punk's What the Fuck Do You Want podcast this week. I bet they're brilliant as always, but I've been a busy bastard listening to Apache Indian songs all week. So I haven't I haven't heard that yet. Biggie isn't on anything, but we'll get him back on here soon, I think.
Yeah.
We'll get everyone that we've promised to get on. Once this writer's strike's over, we'll have a big fucking glut. Paul Parks of SP Film Viewers, he's doing Enter the Dragon this week. We should do that, by the way. We'll get like five things from it, but I love Enter the Dragon. I haven't seen it in years.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
And people with nothing to promote. Rachel Plant, Phil Farish, Gavin McGill, Ian McComish, Jen Stewart, and James Allen. Thank you very much. And do you know what, John? It's been brilliant this week because I've not been calling strangers horrible names.
Yeah, that's a change.
It's been good to not have to do that. Yeah. What you got to say to the people now we're back?
Oh, God, it's such an exciting part of my life. And I'll be glad to get back to this. I feel as if, not that we've neglected the fan base, but I just feel as if we need to get back on it.
We need to do some more regular episodes. We shall do more regular episodes.
Jesus down, we're letting Biggie and Smalls down. We're just
The big lad has spoken. We will be giving you more regular episodes from here on in. Listeners, thank you so much for your time. This episode clocks in at under an hour. It's amazing. You love to hear it. And if you put it on 1.5, it'll be even quicker. Get it done. But we really appreciate you. And you obviously appreciate us because you're all fucking listening. So keep it up. We'll keep it up. And John, since he's been married, has done nothing but keep it up.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. No, I haven't.
Sad face.
No, like Charlie for this film.
He didn't have to get some shagging, didn't he?
God, aye.
Anyway, he's been John, I've been Plenty, and this has been 99 things we learned from the Italian job. See ya.
Ciao.
Oh, Bella.